Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. It's a delight to say we are joined by the indispensable director of Jihad Watch, the author of some 15 books, including several New York Times bestsellers, notable among them, The Truth About Mohammed and the Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam. I'm also appreciative that he's a man who has been contributing mightily to some of the products of the Center for Security Policies, particularly in the video space. He is, of course, Robert Spencer. You must check out his work at Jihad Watch, but also his columns at PJ Media and Front Page Magazine. And, of course, monitor this program closely, because whenever we have him, it's always magic. Thank you so much, Robert. Great to have you, sir.
Always great to be here, Frank. Thank you.
Well, I wanted very quickly to get your sort of impressions of what is happening in Europe. You do a marvelous job of documenting this at Jihad Watch, but just give us a sense of what we're seeing in Sweden, in the UK, and what it means not only for what's happening to our friends and allies over there, but potentially to us.
It's really quite astonishing how quickly this is all happening, Frank. For one thing, just today, a leading researcher at the Swedish Defense College has declared that he has found that Sweden is now a hub for Islamic Jihad plotting in Europe. And it's not that these people are coming in plotting elsewhere, but they are using Sweden now as a base. The situation has advanced to that degree. In the UK, it's something similar, because we have the mayor of London saying that he does not have the finances, does not have the resources any longer to pursue all kinds of crimes, including to pursue the jihad terrorists the way that the public would want him to. Meanwhile, there has been an exponential increase of arrests for so-called hate speech in Britain. And what the British are devoting their resources to increasingly is not to cracking down on jihad terrorists, but cracking down on the so-called extreme right, the people who are trying to say that there is a problem here with jihad terrorists.
I saw a video the other day of Katie Hopkins addressing, I think, an audience in the United States, warning of what's happening. She being one of those being targeted for this kind of, Sharia blasphemy restrictions on saying anything that might be deemed offensive to Islam or Muslims. She is arguing, and I think you and I would agree with her, Robert, that we mustn't let the United States go the way of Great Britain. And I wanted to ask you next about what you're seeing, Robert, and reporting on at Jihad Watch concerning the influence operations, the penetration. We talked a moment ago with Dinah West about some of this in connection with Russia, but what I think of them as Sharia supremacists are up to under banners like that of the Council on American-Islamic Relations to penetrate and suborn and otherwise influence our political elite.
Well, you know, when you say that we don't want to go down the path that Britain is going, unfortunately, all too many American politicians are doing so. And one of the things that the Council on American-Islamic Relations has been magnificently successful in doing is normalizing itself, despite Justice Department evidence that it is connected to Hamas and the Muslim Brotherhood, despite the fact that it has opposed every counterterror measure that has ever been proposed or implemented anywhere, despite the fact that all over the country, its pamphlets that it distributes at its conferences tell Muslims not to cooperate with the FBI, not to aid in law enforcement efforts against terrorism. Despite all that, it's still considered a respectable civil rights organization. And recently we had Congressman Mike Quigley speak at its Chicago banquet, which was called a resistance banquet. Resisting what was a little bit unclear, but the fact that it's normalized is very clear, that the Democratic Party politicians all over the country think that it's not only a responsibility, but an honor to be associated with this Hamas-linked Muslim Brotherhood front group. That is an astonishing turn of events, and one that's quite ominous for public policy and for counter-terror efforts.
It is indeed. Speaking of its links to Hamas, we have a book called Care is Hamas, as I think you know, which just simply pulls out some of that evidence from the Holy Land Foundation trial, in which it's clear from the FBI surveillance back in the day when they did this sort of thing of Hamas and other Sharia supremacists who met in 1993 to found the Council on American-Islamic Relations, that this was a direct product of Hamas and its efforts to have a political warfare instrument and fundraising mechanism. So this is very ominous indeed, and I think what we're going to see much more of, especially with a Muslim Brotherhood-tied individual as the number two man in the Democratic National Committee, namely Representative Keith Ellison, is a lot more of this bonding between the red, as they say, and the green in the left and the Islamist ranks of the Democratic Party.
It's amazing, really, when you consider that it was just revealed that Ellison met in a clandestine meeting with the president of Iran, an extraordinarily repressive, bloodthirsty regime, and Louis Farrakhan, whose wildly anti-Semitic statements have been abundantly documented, and nobody cares. There's no repercussions for Ellison whatsoever as the number two man in the Democratic National Committee. And yet, imagine if he had met with the Klan or something like that, the press would be all over it. But there's a tremendous double standard when it comes to connections to jihad leaders, to Islamic anti-Semites, and so on.
Well, and again, and your work is incalculable importance in documenting all of this at jihadwatch.org. I hope that our audience has bookmarked your products. And I was listening to Breitbart this morning talking about efforts being made to suppress their platform at Google, I think was the specific case in point. It's happening, I know, to them and others of us, including your good self, on several of these social media outlets. So it's all the more important that we be making proactively the effort to monitor what you're doing and acting upon it, Robert Spencer. Let me ask you, speaking of acting, this is, of course, not only Valentine's Day, named for Saint Valentine's, a man who, Saint Valentine, I should say, a man who was martyred for his faith. The Romans, as I recall, stoned him, but did not kill him and wound up having to behead him in the end. That's not exactly what we associate with Valentine's Day these days, of course, but it's also Ash Wednesday. And Robert, I wanted to call to your attention and that of our audience the fact that there is a new coalition, I'm very proud to be part of it, called the Save the Persecuted Christians Coalition. And I know you follow closely what's happening to Christians, particularly in the Middle East, but this is truly a universal problem. And I'd like to get your thoughts on the importance of rallying the American people on behalf of Christians who are being subjected in truly staggering numbers to persecution. Open Doors has estimated that 215 million Christians around the world are facing now heavy persecution or worse. Your thoughts, sir?
And this is why this coalition is so important. People don't know that Christians are the most persecuted group in the world today, and that ancient Christian communities that go back to the time of Christ in the Middle East have been decimated, destroyed. Some will never recover. And these things have been done under the aegis of the Islamic Jihad imperative that the Western media continues to whitewash and ignore. And this is why there is no attention given to the plight of these people, and why it's so important that American Christians and all people of goodwill who deplore this kind of persecution be alerted to what's happening. And so I applaud this effort. And Frank, if there's anything I can possibly do for it, I am very happy to help.
I know that you will, and it's needed, Robert, as it is for all of us. I hope folks will check this out. The website is savethepersecutedchristians.org. And just to add to your point, Robert, unfortunately, according to Open Doors USA's World Watch report, North Korea is the most repressive of all of the countries in the world when it comes to Christians. And unfortunately, the communist Chinese and Hindu nationalists in India and others are, I guess, competing with the Islamic States and the other jihadists of the world for the opportunity to repress these people. We need to stand with them, and we look forward to doing that together with others who are concerned about this and working hard on it at SaveThePersecutedChristians.org. Robert Spencer, we have to leave it at that for the moment. Come back to us again very soon, my friend. It's so good to talk with you. Next up, Suzanne Schulte will join us. We'll talk about North Korea, the threat that it poses to all of us, right after this.
go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.